Okay, I'm behind. Some of you are behind as well. Tomorrow's my day to try to get caught up to some degree. Feel free to use tomorrow as your day to get caught up some nut too. Okay? So anyway, what we're going to look at is two presentations and then start doing some stuff depending on how we get forward. Carolyn may not be here at 2, and I won't be here directly at 2 because I have a meeting, but I'll be down a little bit later. So anybody that comes, wants to come for help, I will come down and help, but it may be a little after 2 because I've got to go and stay at the meeting for a few minutes at least. Okay, so, and I don't know whether you're thinking you're going to go home, right?
Like I said, if I was in the lab, I wouldn't want to be helped by
me
today.
So. Well, it depends on how you feel, I think, is too.
You have germs.
You have germs. Okay, so presentation on logical if structures. Bring that up, please. Okay. The difference between access and what we're going to be looking at now, which is more like programming, is that access, basically, you made a decision as to whether to display or not display. So there wasn't really any, okay, if this isn't true, here's something else you might do. It was, I'm going to check the criteria, and if the criteria are true, I'm displaying. And if the criteria aren't true, I'm not displaying. Okay? In programming, it gets more complex than that, where I can say, if this is true, do this, else do something else, and do all kinds of alternatives. So it gets a little more complicated. So we're going to go through, pardon me?
Which presentation was it?
The first one under this week of. If you go to the week of, it's a presentation on if, I think. Okay. So, this is obviously the very simple if statement. And again, with an if statement, the decision is in a diamond. The yes goes one direction and the no goes another. A convention is the yes goes off to the, as you're facing it, to the right, and the no goes off to the left. And then I join them together down here to indicate that the if is done. Now, I only have one thing happening here. I could have a list of 5 different things if I wanted 5 different things to happen. So if I had a complex calculation, I could have list a whole lot of calculations that I wanted to do. And again, that's a difference in access. In access, we've only looked at using the conditions to determine whether or not we display or not. Here, we can have the conditions tell us to do work. So I ask the question, and this is the pseudocode. Here's the flowchart, here's the pseudocode. And it's pseudocode because it's not really written in any language. It's just written out as, this is what I want to do. At one point, they actually debated having programming are broken up into 2 parts. One person would do the logic and one person would do the code. And when they were doing that, which one do you think got the higher pay? It would be the logic person. Because determining the logic was the hard part. Once you have the logic out, if you know the language, then it's easy to write the language. Okay, then they decided that that really didn't work, and I don't think anybody does that anymore, but because they're so interwoven. So, in this case, I'm saying if amount is greater than 5,000, then I'm saying take amount, multiply it by 10, and store it in answer, or assign it to answer. So I'm saying take amount. The multiply sign in programming is an asterisk rather than an X. So it's an asterisk times 10, and assign it to answer. And then I have the end of the if statement. Okay? So that's my end if. And for some reason, my smart board doesn't feel like showing that. So, come on, you can do it. There. Okay, so the next one, if you move down, the next one has an alternative. So I'm saying if amount is greater than 5,000, multiply by 10, otherwise multiply by 5. So I'm saying if amount is greater than 5,000, answer equals amount times 10, else, and else is the no branch. Else, it's equal to amount times 5, and that's the end of the if. Okay. I will probably forget to ask you if you have questions. If you do, ask them, okay? In this next one, I have two things that have to be true. And again, you've seen that in the criteria in Access, where we had two things in an and relationship that would both be on the criteria line. So on this one, I said, okay, if the inventory code equals A, and the amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. Okay? And down here in the pseudocode, I said if inventory code equals A, same thing. And A is a non-numeric literal, so it's enclosed in quotes. And okay was also a non-numeric literal that should have been enclosed in quotes, and it is in the flowchart, but not in the pseudocode. Okay? But, again, I can get away with being sloppy in pseudocode and flowcharts because that's not the actual code. Okay, if I tried to put the word okay in with one set of quotes when I actually write it as a program, I'd get an error. Okay, but pseudocode is for me, and so I'm more forgiving of me, okay, than the computer is. Okay. You can also write this as a compound. So over here, I've said if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK. Okay? Over here, where I have the two decisions, notice I have two end ifs. Okay? Because every if needs to be ended, so every if has an end if. And in the flowchart, I also have the two circles, meaning the two end ifs. Okay, so every if has to be ended. Questions? Okay. I'm going through these reasonably fast. If you have a question, it's your job to stop me. Okay? Okay, so on this one I said, if inventory code equals A, and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. If I get a no to either one of these, I want to move problem to message. Okay, so I'm doing something. Again, if I did this in Access, it would simply be, I'm not displaying. But here I am moving the word problem to message. So if I ask the questions individually, like I did here, if inventory code equals A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Now this else goes to that if. And else connects itself upward to the first available if. That's the first available if. The next else that we hit can't have that if because it's taken, so it connects to that if. Okay? And if can only have one else. So I'm saying here, if amount is not greater than 5,000, I move problem to message, and then I end the if. Else, if invoice is not equal to A, I move problem to message and end that if. Okay. Now notice that what I've got here is this if is kind of all inside the yes there. And if you look over here, you can see it's all inside. Okay, so it kind of goes that way. So I said, if inventory code equals A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to F message. And if I get a no to either one of them, I move problem to message. Questions? That's the first one that started to get a little tricky. So does that one make sense? Okay. Now, if I make it compound, I'm saying if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Else, move problem. Now, I can get away with that because I have the same no. If I had different no's here, if this one said move problem and this one said move whoops, then I couldn't do it with a compound because there would be two different no's. And I would have to do it broken down like this and change one of them to say whoops. Okay? Questions. So I can make a compound because it doesn't matter which one made a no. I want to move problem to message if it's no. So if it's yes, I have one thing to do. If either one of these are no, I want to do the same thing. So that allows me to have the compound of if this and this is true, move okay. Else, and I don't care why, else move problem. Because I can do it for either one. Okay. Questions? Well, I think there should be starting to be questions pretty soon. Okay, where was I? That one, and now we're on this one. Okay. Now, on this one, I still have the same and, this and this. But I said if amount isn't greater than 5,000, I want to write out problem. The inventory code is nay, I don't want to do anything. Okay, so that means right there I can't have a compound because the no's are different. One of them is do nothing, one of them is move problem. So since the no's are different, I can't ask a compound question. So I said if inventory code equals A, if I get a yes, drop down and ask about amount, and if that's greater than 5,000, move okay to message. Else, and that attaches to the no of the else attaches to the first available if. And so else move problem, and that ends the if. There is no else on inventory code equals A because I have nothing to do if inventory code is not equal to A. Okay? I could have put in an else do nothing, but it just seems like a waste of time. So I don't do anything. I don't have an else on inventory code equals A because I have nothing to do if inventory code is not equal to A. Yeah? Thanks for the nods. I'm serious. I appreciate it. Okay, what about this one? Let's go. Closing Leah, yes. Okay. Could that one be a compound?
No.
No, because the two no's are different. One of them says move problem, one of them says move bad code. So again, I'm saying if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, move okay. Else, if the amount is off, move problem. And if. Then I back up to if inventory code is not A,
else is will bad code the message. And that if.
The else and if are still going to work even if it isn't a compound?
Yes.
The rule still applies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can always do anything if you ask simple ifs. If you write simple ifs, you can do anything. It's when you get into compound that you're asking two questions, and if I ask these two questions as this and this, there's no clear way of finding out which one isn't true.
Okay.
If I put it in a compound, and that's what the problem is.
So why did compound even come around?
Just because it's easier if it works. It's less writing if it works. And to some degree, it may be clearer when people look at it if there's less code to weave their way through. Okay. Next one. This is an OR relationship. We've been looking at AND relationships. This is an OR. Where I'm saying, if inventory code equals A, move OK to message. If not, then I've got a second chance. Is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, move OK to message. So if I get a yes to either one of those, I can move OK to message. Okay, so I wrote this out and I said, if inventory code equals A, move OK to message. Else, I get to ask another question. Is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, move OK to message. End this embedded if, and then go back and end the other if. So I have end if. Okay? Because I had the else, there is one else here. Okay, there's no else over here because I have nothing to do if the amount isn't greater than 5,000. I've run out of chances. Okay, so the else goes with that. And there is no else that goes with the amount greater than 5,000. Okay. Now, could this one be made into a compound OR? Mm-hmm. Because either way, I want to move OK to message. I don't care which one is true. If either of them is true, I want to move OK to message. So I could have written this, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. And then I wouldn't have any else's. Okay.
So that pretty much answers my question from before, why they came up with compounds.
Yeah.
All right, I got it.
Okay, and there it is.
So there I've written the compound. If inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. And I don't have anything to do if they're not both, if one of them isn't true. One of them has to be true. So if the first one isn't true, I ask the second. If the second's not true, I'm out of here. And so I don't have any else.
Okay, what about if those messages weren't the same? Could I make a compound then?
If this one said move okay and this one said move maybe, I can't make a compound. Okay. Because I would be changing one of them, this one down here, to maybe, and that means I couldn't have a compound. Okay?
Okay. On this one, I said, if inventory code equals A, move OK. If not, is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, move OK.
And then if I get a no to both of them, I'm saying move problem. So I said in the pseudocode, if inventory code equals A, move OK to message. Else, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Else, move problem to message. Okay? And then I end the inner if, and then I end the outer if.
Could this be written as a compound? Yes. Because I could say, if inventory code equals A, and in fact I do on the next slide, I think, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Else, move problem to message. Okay? So in other words, if I get a no to the first one and a no to the second one, then I will move problem. Or means there are three possibilities, or four possibilities. When you ask two questions, there's four possibilities. You can have everything yes, you can have everything no, or you can have a mixture. So here I only care if inventory code equals A, I move over the message. And in fact, at that point, I don't care about amount, so I never even bother to ask it. If inventory code is not equal to A, then I ask about amount. And if it's a yes, I move OK to message. Only if I get a no to both of them, no, no, do I move problem. Okay? Only if I get a no to both of them do I move problem. Come on, you can do it. Okay. Can this one be turned into a compound?
No. Because I have a different response to the first yes and a different response to the second yes. I'm moving out a different message.
And if I want a different message, then I can't have a compound. Okay, so I said, if inventory code equals A, move code OK. Else, if amount is greater than 5,000, move amount OK. Else, I've got a problem. Okay. Okay. This one should look vaguely familiar to you. One thing has to be true in either of two others. Okay? Been there, done that, seen that, done it in Access, done it in SQL. So I'm saying if inventory code equals A, then I'm going to continue. If it's no, I'm out of here. So that means if inventory code is not A, I don't do anything. I'm out of here. If inventory code does equal A, then I ask, and one of these two has to be true. One of the two has to be true. Don't care which one it is. One of them has to be true. So if amount first is greater than 500, I move OK to message. If not, I check is amount second greater than 200, and if it is, I move OK to message. If you look at the pseudocode, I said inventory code equals A. If it's not, notice I just drop right down to the end if. I could have dropped to an else if I had something to do, but I didn't have anything to do, so I just dropped to the end if. If amount first is greater than 500, I move that message. Else, if amount second is greater than 200, I move that message. And I end all of the ifs. So if you look at it, and NDIF also connects to the first available IF going on. So those are the NDIFs and IFs, the way they go together. Okay, yeah.
Count down that one, like the second part of it?
Yes. Stay tuned. Okay, and there it is compounded. And notice the parentheses that we saw when we were doing SQL. Those parentheses were there. Because again, ands get resolved before ors. So I want it to be inventory code equals A and either of those. So those have to be put in parentheses. And the parentheses again, in this case, reads like either. So this really looks very much like what I would have written in SQL. If inventory code equals A and either of those are true, display would have been what I'd written in an access. I would have had select asterisks from the table where inventory code equals A and parenthesis amount first greater than 500 or amount second greater than 200. So this looks a lot like what we would have written. Okay. So it has the parenthesis. Okay, I also could have written it this way. So I said, if inventory code equals A, continue. And then I compounded the OR, those two ORs. So I said, if inventory code equals A, then go on. If it's not, I'm out of here. If amount first is greater than 500 or amount second is greater than 200, move OK to message. Okay, so I could have compounded it this way if I'm scared of parentheses. Okay. Questions? Okay. We are on okay. If I had not put in the parentheses, it ends up being if inventory code equals A and amount first is greater than 5,000, then I'm going to move OK to message. If I get a no to this set, because again, remember, ands are resolved before ors, so those two are put together and this one stands alone. So, inventory value equals A, and I happily continue on. Is amount first greater than 500? If it is, move OK. If those two aren't true, I already know the inventory code is A, so I know it was this one that was the problem. I come down and ask the standalone question. Is amount second greater than 200? If I get a no to the inventory code question, I still have to ask the standalone question. Because I said A and amount first, or my second choice, my second thing is amount second greater than 200. So if it's not A, I also have to ask that question. Questions? There is no way. Thank you.
it's a little bit confusing because the way it's written is if inventory is equal to A and the amount is greater than 500.
That's right.
But the way it's written, if inventory equals A, we could go to no, and you're saying that's when the standalone or is if amount is greater than 200. But it seems like it should be inventory A has to be greater than 500.
But if that's what I want, well, wait a minute.
This is confusing.
Okay. If you want the inventory A to have to be true, you do the parenthesis, which I did in the last one.
So the parentheses would be around the invoice equals A and
it would
amount
be around amount first, yep. Right on those, just like it was in the last slide. Go back to the last slide, and you can see the parenthesis there. In the case if I don't
13,
use...
On slide 15.
If I don't use parentheses, ands get tied together. So these two things are around an and, so it ties them together. So without parentheses, the things around the and get tied together, which means that stands alone. So that's what's left.
So what happened if... just say, for instance, there was another piece past the second or, so those would be tied together as well?
Yeah, if there was another and. If I had another and over here, then those two would be tied together.
Okay.
If I had another or here, it would have been, okay, if this isn't true, no, I'll ask that third question.
Would that make it two
standalones?
Two
standalones, yes.
It would make it two
standalones? Yeah.
All right. And it's enough multiplication.
Yeah.
Unless you start getting into exponentiation and then you
your analogy starts to bite the dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes and picks the things around the and puts them together. Unless I don't want, and it's, that's true in algebra.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's basically algebra. You know, so if you've had algebra, you're looking at the same general rules in algebra of parentheses. Yeah, but see, now that you understand it here, you'll understand it in algebra.
No. I just came from math. I'm still bad at it.
Yes.
This is more interesting than the way they do it.
Well, I think it's also that a lot of people that teach in elementary school didn't like math in the first place, and they passed that on. At least that happened with my kids. And we had to basically say, no, 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 no. Math is good. Arithmetic is good. You like arithmetic. You like it. You like it. Okay. So, if this is the same problem, but what I did is put the amount second, which was the standalone, I asked that first, and it makes it simpler. So if you have a standalone and you ask that first, then okay, I move okay. If that's not true, then I gotta ask the two. Okay, and that just saved me, it's a simpler code. So if you look at it and you see the one thing stands alone, it's condition 3 or condition 1 and condition 2. This is kind of an easier way to code it. And I wrote it down here, if amount second is greater than 200 or, and I combined those two.
And again, we saw that in the one you worked on in class in Access, that it doesn't matter which question you ask first. If you have a series of questions, it doesn't matter what you put on the criteria line and what you put on the OR line. You can flip them usually and be just fine. And that's what I did here. I flipped and asked that question first and then said if I get a no to that, then I got had both of these. Okay? Because, again, the and gets resolved first.
Okay, number 19. Looked like 9 for a minute. Okay, so here I have started to throw in move problem to message.
So I said, if my inventory code equals A, if amount first is greater than 500, I put out a message that said 500, okay. Else, if amount second is greater than 200, I moved a different message. So I've got a bunch of different things happening here.
I have different messages, and I have one place, which is if inventory code is not A, I'm doing nothing. Okay? So that means there's no else to the inventory equals A, because I'm not doing anything if that's a no. I'm just dropping out. But if amount first is greater than 500, I move 500, okay. Else, I ask, is amount second greater than 200? And if it is, I move 200, okay. Else, I move problem. That ends that if. Notice how this if is embedded inside the else. Only if I get a no to the amount first greater than 500 do I go and do this question. And it's embedded inside the else. Okay. So the end if goes like that and like that.
Questions.
And then on the last one, I had something happening in all cases, but they're all different.
So again, I can't have the compound. The only thing I added in here is I put an else on the inventory code not equal to A and said move code problem, the message.
So now I have condition one and condition two or condition three, but I have different messages going out for the different ones, so I can't do it as a compound. Okay, I can't do a compound because I have different messages, so no compound.
And I probably shouldn't have written it up that way as a compound. Basically, I still have the inventory code equals A, and either of these have to be true. It's just I'm getting a different message.
Okay. Questions? So you now understand if statements, right? Yes. Okay. Essentially, a programming language. When I write programs, and I think actually I say that at the beginning of this one, so I'm going to bring up the next loop. And I did say it right there. Okay, programming and logic involves three structures. And it's basically these three structures do everything.
You have to understand sequence, that it does drop down. Unless you change the order and put a go-to or something in there, it just does drop down. It just drops down to the next thing.
And go-to programming is a no-no nowadays. It used to be done a lot. It's now considered lousy style, and they're right, it is. The next thing is selection or conditions, where I ask a question and I go one direction if it's yes and another direction if it's no. And again, I can have multiple things in on either side. So I could have 10 things I wanted to do if it was yes and 2 things I wanted to do if it was no. And then the third structure is the loop structure, which we're now going to look at. And that's iteration or repetition or whatever you want to call it, where I ask a question
And if the question is true, I go and do something, and then I go back and ask the question again. And if it's true, I go do something. And when I get a no, I drop out. For some reason, and it, well, it's probably clearer. The yes and the no on a loop, okay, for some reason, whatever. The yes and the no go that way on a loop. Lots of times the no drops down and the yes goes off to the side. That's not always true, but it's very frequently true. Whereas in a decision, the yes and no go off to the sides. Okay, so when you're drawing it.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
The sequence structure. When you said that was not used anymore, are you talking about like how...
No, no, the sequence is still used. The go-to is not used anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like how in basic you have to like go-to at sub.
Yeah, right. The go-to is... They try to avoid doing the go-to by having you do a loop until you get a condition that says get out. So they try to avoid a go-to. You still see them sometimes, but they try to figure out coding ways without a go-to. Okay, and that says different message on compound because it's yes, all right. I don't really want that there. Closing clear. And now we'll take a picture. Okay, so now I'm looking at the conditions. And I can have a condition. And if this condition is true, I process, and then I go back again. And if the condition is true, I process, and I go back again. Okay? That's one way that I can do things. When I finally get a no, I drop out. And the other way I can do things is I can do one processing and then ask the question about do you want to do it again? So the difference is on the first one that I looked at, I didn't do any processing until I asked the question. I asked the question, and then I determined whether or not to process. In the second one, I processed once, and then I determined whether or not to process a second time. So I did the processing, whatever the processing is. Add five numbers together, whatever. I did the processing, then I asked, do you want to do it again, basically. I ask a condition to determine whether I want to do it again. And if I do, I process, find out if I should do it again, and I keep going through. There's a lot of subtlety involved in loops, but those are essentially the two major things. Okay. So, let's say I want to read a record. Your book makes the point about the initializing read, that I read a first record before I do anything else. And then I say, okay, as long as that read was successful, not end of file, EOF stands for end of file. So not end of file means that the read was successful. If it went out to read a file or a table, and there was nothing in it, then it would be end of file and it would stop. But as long as it read, then it's not end of file. So it processes and reads again. And then it goes back to see if this read was successful. So this second read reads the second record through, and it will keep going. The third record, the fourth record, it'll keep going until all have been read. Okay, so it will keep going. So I read the first record over here in the initializing read, and then I say, okay, as long as that was successful, process and read again. Come back, not end of file. In other words, did that second read have data? If it did, process and read the third record. Check and see that there was something on the third record. and that's how it keeps going through. In pseudocode, you would write it as start, input or read a record, do while, not end of file. Process, read, end of the while loop. Process, read, process, read, process, read. Always, almost always, the read is the last thing before you go back when you're checking for end of file, because that's what I'm checking for, is did the read work? Did I get data? Did the read bring me some data? Questions? You're scaring me. Because you're usually the class that asks questions. Okay. Well, there was I was at. Okay, so here we're going to go with a counter. Okay, this shows a dual loop controlled by a counter. I've determined I want to continue the processing while the counter is less than the stop point. Okay, so let's say that I am going to stop the counter out at one or something, and I'm, so I'll have a stop point, we'll have a stop point of one. And a stop point of, let's say, four, so we don't do it too long. Okay? So we're starting out at one. I hesitated there for a moment between one and zero, because, in fact, in the computer world, lots of times you start counting at zero. It doesn't matter. I can choose which I want. So I'm starting out, and I'm saying my start point in memory, I've got a memory variable. These are memory variables. My memory variable for the start point is 1, and my memory variable for the stop point is 4. Okay? So I'm going to start out, and I'm going to keep a counter. So my counter, I start out at the beginning, and I said my counter equals the stop point. So my counter equals 1. And then I said, is counter less than the stop point? Yes, it is. So I go through and I process 1. Okay, so I process record 1. So I process record 1. Or information 1, or whatever I want to call it, but I'm going to process 1. Then I'm going to increment the counter. So the counter is now 2. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, is the counter less than the stop point? Yes, it is. So I'll process 2. And then I'm going to increment the counter, and it's now a 3. And I go back and I say, is counter less than stop point? Yes, it is. 3 is less than 4, so I process record 3, and I come over here and I increment the counter. When I go back, is the counter less than the stop point? No, so I'm done. I only processed 1, 2, and 3. I did the processing 3 times. If I wanted to have it go further, I could change the stop point. I could have also said it's counted less than or equal to. I can have a variety of different things. But essentially, I'm stopping when I get to a certain point. So this went through the loop 3 times and processed the first, the second, and the third. And it went through the loop 3 times. Okay. On the last one, I started out, and we can take the same numbers and see how that works. So I'm going to have the start point is going to be 1. And the stop point is going to be 4, and here's my counter. So I'm saying counter equals start point, and I started out at 1. And then I hit process. So I process record 1 or information 1. So I processed, the counter equals the start point, I processed. Now because I've processed, I add 1 to the counter. And then I say, okay, is the counter not equal to the start point? If it's not equal, I go back. So I process record 2. I then increment the counter. Is the counter not equal to the stop point? It's not equal, so I go back. I process record 3. I increment the counter. Is the counter not equal to the stop point? They are equal, so I'm out of there. Okay. There are times when you want to make sure you always process at least once. And that time you would use this particular logic. And then there are other times when you do not want to process unless you've checked something. And then you would use the one that we looked at a few minutes ago. But either of these will work. Okay. Questions?
Yeah, under the pseudocode it says until counter equals stop point, and then on the diagram it says counter not equal to stop point.
Yeah, because basically this is saying do until the counter is equal to the stop point. But when I ask the question, it's easier to say not equal. If it's not equal, go back.
Oh, okay.
But the do until is I'm doing it until it's equal to stop point. It's a matter of asking the negative.
Okay,
then I am done with those two. And now we're going to start this in-class logic exercise. And we have, you're done at 4:15, so we have about 20 minutes. Okay, so if you are here, this is a homework assignment. If you are here, then the ones we cover today, you don't have to do. If you come on Thursday, we'll get through the rest. So if you're here today and Thursday, you don't have to do this at home. But if you aren't here, then you have to do the ones you weren't here for. Okay. So if you go into this particular one, I said, I want to declare some variables, some memory variables. I'm declaring an ID, a name, a pay per hour, hours worked, pay, and pay after. Okay, so I'm declaring all of these things as memory variables. So I'm going to set up a little area in memory and call it ID number, and set up another little area and call it names, and so forth. Then I said, okay, input ID number, names, pay per hour, and hours work. So basically, let's say I had a program going on here. I'm prompting the user to put those things in. Okay? So I'm prompting the user to put in an ID number, a name, a pay per hour, and hours work. As you can see, the pseudocode is doing the same thing. Then I said, okay, now calculate pay equals pay per hour times hours worked. Calculate pay after is pay times 0.8. So apparently I'm taking 20% away. And then I said, output the ID, the name, the pay, and the pay after. Okay, so I've got my input happening here. My processing happening here. And my output happening here. And programs always have, or not always, but usually they have input coming in
either from a file or from a screen or something. It has processing going on, and it has output that I'm producing. Okay, so now I've got my problem down here. The input is coming in. So the first thing I ask for, that's the ID number. That's the name. This is the pay per hour. This is the hours worked. Hours worked, I didn't spell it. This is the hours worked. So that's the data that's coming in. So if I look at this, what is going to be my output? Yes, what is my output going to be?
The ID number.
Name. Which is what?
11111.
John Doe. Mm-hmm. What's it going to be next?
500 per day.
And what's going to be next? 400. Because it did the calculation here of 25 times 20, and it came up with 500, which you put inside the memory variable called K. And then it took the 500, multiplied it by 0.8, and assigned 400 to pay after. Because that's what it went in.
You guys all sign this?
Everybody sign? Thank you. Okay, so that's the answer to number one. Okay. Questions on that? Do you see where that came from? I came in with the ID number, the name John Doe, pay per hour of 25, and hours worked of 20. I calculated pay by doing the multiply. I calculated pay after taxes by doing that 500 times 0.8. And got 400, and then I put out ID, name, pay, and pay after. Okay? This is an example of sequence. There were no decisions, there was no loop. I just sequentially did one right after another, and then I was done. Okay? Okay, next. Okay. This is essentially doing exactly, and why is it doing its thing? Calm down. Okay, this is essentially doing the same thing, but it's using a module, or a routine, or a procedure. There's a lot of words for this, but it's using a module. So instead of doing those two calculates, I said, go do the module called calculate pay. So it goes up, does that, and I now say return, so it comes back and continues on its way. As I said, this is a module. It can also be called a routine. It can also be called a procedure. It can name anything. I think your book uses module more. So you go out and do the module. Now notice the way I wrote this. It's a rectangle with parallel lines at either side.
That is the symbol for go do something and come back. Okay? So it's saying go out and do it and come back. Why did I do it this way? Because it's easier to break a program down into chunks and say go do the calculations and then come back. And also because I was going to run out of room pretty soon if I wanted to do more things. So it makes sense to go out and do the routine. And so this one gives you exactly the same answers because it did exactly the same thing. These two calculates were over here in the first example. Now they've just moved outside and I said go do it and now return. So I'm getting exactly the same answer. So I'm going to have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, job, dough, 500, 400. So I'm going to have exactly the same answer for number two. It's just a different way of showing it. And over here I said go do calc pay and put the same things in. When you give a module a name, it's frequently that you put the two parentheses in after it. The two parentheses can be used to talk about, when we get to programming, to talk about data you're passing to the module, information you're passing to the module. So I could have written that I was passing paper hour and hours worked inside the parentheses, but I didn't. I don't have to. Yeah.
When you're calculating pay after equals pay times 0.8, what is that?
I just decided that you don't get to take home your entire check.
Okay, so you're doing like taxes. You know,
right, that's right. Taxes or whatever else that people are subtracting before they give you your real pay.
I don't know if you said it already, but what's with the parentheses after account pay? Is it just to show that it's a variable?
Just to show it's a module, basically. Okay. And that could contain the data that I wanted to pass. But it tends to kind of indicate that you're going out and doing a procedure or a module. Okay, number three. Three and four. Okay, try them and see what answers you come up with.
The answers for 1 and 2 the same?
Yeah, as it turns out, they are.
That was make it interesting.
Okay, so what did you get for these? What is the output from these? Okay, somebody who hasn't answered a question before, be brave and answer the question. Yeah.
I have only on number 3.
Okay, what's number 3?
The ID number, 11111. Name, Dan Smith. The code is S. Hours are
Pay is 800. No, 1,000.
1,000.
And then pay after is 800.
Yep. So what I did there is I came in, and this is the identifying names for the fields, and I did them in order. I went out to do calculate pay, and I asked, is the pay code equal to H? And on the first one, it's not. So I took the no, and I said pay is equal to salary, which was 52,000 divided by 52. So that gave me 1,000. And then I came down here, and notice that this is after the if is over. Because once I know what pay is, I didn't need to code it on both sides because I'm doing exactly the same thing. I'm saying take pay, multiply it by 0.8, and store it in pay code. So I only had to do it once, so I did it after the if. Would it have been wrong to put it up on the Y and on the no? No, I could have put it both places, but I'm lazy. So if I can only write it once, I'll only write it once as opposed to writing it twice. So I calculated the pay, which is 1,000 times 0.8 is 800, and then I returned. Okay, if I ran this with Linda French, what did I get? She had an H, so I went this way and multiplied her hours times her pay per hour, which gave her also what?
1,000.
So she also got 1,000. So 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, Linda French also had 1,800 because she had an hourly worker, so she took this branch and multiplied 25 by 40, which gave it 1,000, came down and took 80% of the 1,000. Questions? Okay, move on and do the next one.
Notice we haven't got into loops yet. We're still just looking at sequence and if statements, decisions.
Okay, so the first one, I'm coming in with 1111 FR 22 and 600,000. So I come over here and I say, is department greater than 15? Yes, it is. It's 22. So I come over here, is budget greater than 500,000? Yes, it is. So I come over here and my message is cut 7%. So, I go back and I put out 1111 Fall River 22. Oh, wait a minute, message for a second. 1111, and then I put out the message that says cut 7%. Then I put out the location. Then I put out the 22. And then I put out the 600,000. Didn't even have to do any calculation. You just told somebody else that they needed to cut 7%. Okay? So they've been told to cut 7%. Okay, so what's number two? Somebody in the back row. A brave soul in the back row. Come on.
The answer?
Yep.
1212, cut 5% ER. 19, then
4,000. Okay. Does everybody agree with that?
I did the math.
Yeah, I did the math.
Yeah, you worked a lot harder, because if you look at my output, all I asked for was the message.
Oh.
Yeah, I looked at the app.
Okay. So, yeah, you worked harder than you had to.
Because all I asked you to do was give me the message and that information.
If I write the numbers down, is it still right?
No. No, I mean, it's not right unless it's that, because that's what I asked for.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I mean, it's not, if I could have asked for what I did, but I didn't, then so therefore it's not right because it's not what I asked for.
Okay.
Okay, the last one. Somebody else, what is the last one?
22, 22. I've cut 3%.
MB 14 and 33,000. Yep. Everybody agree with that? Mm-hmm. Okay, go on and do the next three. Or the next however many.
I
This is an or relationship.
And I'm getting lazy, so I'm just going to write out the message. So what's the first one? And the message would go in there, right? As I said, I'm getting lazy, so I'm not going to copy it all. What's the message on the first one?
Cut 6%.
Cut 6, yeah.
Cut 6%. What's the message on the next one?
Cut 3%.
Okay. So it's not greater than 15. Is the budget greater than 500? No. So this one was cut 3%. And what's the last one?
Cut 4%.
Pardon me?
Cut
4%. Cut 4%. Okay.
So these are basically now showing, you know, closer to a whole program where I'm coming in with input, I'm doing processing, and I'm producing output. And I think we have just about run out of time. So anybody that was here doesn't have to do the first 10. If you come back on Thursday, then you can not have to do the whole thing. If you don't come back on Thursday, you have to do it from 11 on. Okay?
Where do you do it?
Just write it out and send it to me right off
in
the
email. Just
and send it as
it would be 11 and 12.
We start to send out right. An email.